Thank you. In the 31st chapter, kind of a sad chapter. Brings us to the death of Saul that you see in his life. It brings us to a sad end. But as the scripture says, it says that the wages of sin is death. It says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But as we look into this first, 31st chapter, we see the first part of that particular passage of the scripture, the wages of sin is death. And we see this happening to Saul. We wonder if the person would just turn from their wicked ways. Did the scripture tell us that? And Isaiah said that if we would turn from our wicked ways and seek the Lord. Said, seek the Lord while you may be found and call upon him while he is near. The scripture said that my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. We have a person here that decided not to do that and went on his own way. The Bible lets us know that we should seek our own way. We should acknowledge God in our own way and heal direct our path. That brings us to this sad point of scripture, or part of scripture. And we're going to read through it one more time and then work our way through this part of the book. It says, I'll just read it to you, you don't have to worry about all of it. It says, now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines struck down Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. The battle pressed far against Saul, and the archers found him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through this, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and mistreat me. But his armor bearer would not, for he feared greatly. Therefore, Saul took his own sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell upon his sword and died with him. Thus Saul died, and his three sons and his armor bearer and all the men on the same day together. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those beyond the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their cities and fled. And the Philistines came and lived in it. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons falling on Mount Gilboa. So they cut off his head and stripped off his armor. To send messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the house of their
the people. They put this armor in the temple of Asherah. They fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. So when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, and all of Gilead's men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. And they came to Jabesh and burned them there. And they took their bones and buried them under the temple street in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So we see, this is a sad time. You see here that Saul has died. And if you look at that last term, it says, they buried him under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. And if you look back, amen, there was another time that Saul was under a tamarisk tree. Amen, he had all of his men around him. Amen, all of his soldiers and everyone, and he was sitting there. I believe he was getting ready to fight the Philistines again. Amen, and he was somewhat hesitant. But you see, he was in his power with his men all around him. Amen, but the Lord had emboldened his son, Jonathan, amen, to go and to initiate the battle on the other side. Amen, and because of that initiation, we find out that Israel gets the victory, and Saul, amen, gets the credit, amen, for what the Lord had done and what his son had been initiated to do by the help of the Lord. They were able to defeat the Philistines. But now, amen, we see such a sad ending. Amen, no longer is men with him. Amen, his bones have been buried under a tamarisk tree. Amen, and we find out, amen, that it is not good to be disobedient to the Lord. Amen, it's good, amen, to follow the Lord's lead. Ain't that right? Amen, one of the great things that we see here in the book of Samuel is a theme. We see contrasts all through the book, but the contrast of obedience and disobedience is seen all through the book. Amen, even from the very beginning, obedience and disobedience. Amen, we see what's the high priest's name? Eli, thank you. We see Eli in the beginning of the book. Amen. We see his disobedience and his son's disobedience. But then we see also Hannah's obedience to God and her husband's obedience to God. We see Samuel's obedience. Amen. And then we see Saul rising. And then we see Saul's disobedience to God. And we see what that disobedience brought, even with Eli. That disobedience brought about his death. Amen. And not only that, but it brought about the death of his children. Amen. And it brought about the defeat of Israel. And this is how we begin the book. The book began in defeat, in the sense that Israel was routed because, amen, of their leaders and the sin that they had perpetrated. Amen. And then we get to the end of the book. And we also see the defeat of Israel. But we see the defeat of Israel in a different way because, well, not really different, but God has brought judgment both times. And this judgment that God has brought here upon Saul because of his sin, because of his disobedience. And you know, with sin and with disobedience, you know what comes along with that? Pride. But a lot of times we feel that we know better than God. You know, God will give a direction and then we'll edit that direction. You know how we do it here in this day and time. Amen. Everybody got some kind of online book or, you know, you're dealing with online and post this and post that. And if it's not like you want it, what do you do? You edit it, ain't that right? You edit it, why? Because you made a mistake, ain't that right? But see, the problem is that you don't suppose to edit God's stuff.
Right.
Because because God does not make mistakes. Amen. And he doesn't have to try to second guess and say, oh, right. You told me right. Let me change what I say so that I can take what you said. There was actually a preacher that preached something like that. He was talking about that. God said he was going to do something to somebody about a situation. He said, before I do it, he said, the Lord asked him, what would you do? Yeah. The arrogance of that statement. That God will ask you what he should do about anybody. Amen. They holler. Why? Because man always wants to be the source of his salvation. Man always wants a piece of God that he's not supposed to have. Amen. God, amen, is transcendent above all his creation. God is sovereign. And one thing that we have to know about God is that he does not make mistakes. He does not have to recalculate. He does not have to go back over his stuff to make it right. So when you decide to step in where God, amen, has made a decree, and you decide to massage it a little bit so that it'll fit what you want, amen, then you have put yourself in the place of God. Amen, you have made yourself, amen, God, or you have put yourself in a place where you don't supposed to be. You remember in the garden, what did it say? The devil said to Eve, he said, you shall not surely die. He's changing the word, amen. The word was given to them that if you eat of this tree, you were going to what? Die. Amen. But the devil's always trying to play tricks with the word of God. And the problem is, we take his tricks, ain't that right? Amen. We say, well, sounds pretty good. I don't want to go on and on, but this was Saul's problem. Amen. He was constantly trying to do things his way instead of God's way. He was disobedient. God wanted him to succeed, but Saul, amen, decided to rely on his own understanding rather than on God's understanding. So in the end, like I said, the book is full of contrast. It has David and it has Saul. And in these last two chapters, we see that contrast. We see David has just won a great victory in chapter 30. As Josh preached to us on last week, we see that David has returned home. Let me get this right, Josh. He returned home. He returned to God. He returned to righteousness. And he returned to some riches, all right. He returned home, he returned to God, he returned to righteousness, and he returned to riches. God had blessed him. Amen. Because he was obedient to God. Amen. He had to go out and fight, amen, the Amalekites. Amen. Because they had taken everything he had after he had returned home. God had kept him from that battle. Amen. That we see here in 31. He returned home, he got the victory. So we see victory in 30, but we have to know that 30 and 31 are happening simultaneously. They're happening at the same time. David is getting victory, and Saul is suffering defeat. One is obedient to God, and the other is disobedient to God. Amen. And if you want to see what disobedience gets you, just look at what happened to Saul. And if you want to see what obedience gets you, amen. Look at what David, the victory that David, amen, had received. Amen. Because he was obedient to God. Two things happening simultaneously. But we're here at 31. And if you read the first verse, it says that now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. first chapter is a summary of the whole chapter. It lets us know what happened, amen, in this battle. When they were fighting against Israel, the Philistines were fighting, the men of Israel, what? They fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. So we see God's people running from the enemy. God's people being defeated by the enemy. God's people on the run because of disobedience. Because they have a leader that decided to turn their back or his back on God. And some of them were in concert, amen, with his actions. So we see a great defeat here, amen, in the summary of that great defeat we see in the very first verse. They fell slain on Mount Gilboa. As I told you before, the wages of sin is death. And we see that in the summary of the first verse. But we see it in detail afterwards. It says, then the Philistines overtook Saul and his sons. And the Philistines struck down Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. I thought this was a sad moment, but we can also learn something from this moment. That at times, even when we are trying to loyally fight the battle with those that we love, amen, and trying to help them win the victory, that sometimes even our action can lead to the death or the hurt of our sons, our daughters, or our relatives that's around us. Sometimes we just think disobedience only concerns us. Sometimes we think I'm just doing something that's only going to hurt me. Amen, but that's not always true, and most of the time it's not true. Amen, because disobedience, just as well as your obedience, is connected to somebody. Amen, and a lot of times, because of our bad choices, our children will suffer. Amen, and if they're real bad, our children's children can suffer. Amen, from the choices that we make. Amen, over and over again, from generation to generation. Amen. So sometimes we need to take note of that and understand that we need to turn from our wicked ways. Turn from the way that we think, because we wouldn't want to put hurt upon our family. You know how drug addicts say, I only hurt myself. If that was the case, then we wouldn't even have to have laws, a lot of these laws that we have, because you don't only hurt you. You hurt those that are close to you. You hurt those that are far off from you. Amen. You decide to take stuff that don't belong to you. You might try to kill somebody, amen, that is doing nothing to you. Amen. So we can see that our disobedience is connected to somebody. Amen. And it hurts somebody. And here we see that very same thing. Amen. Here in this battle, Saul's sons died with him. But we also see something that's important is to have family that will stick with you through thick and thin. If you read the book of 1 Samuel, you can see that Jonathan is such a man that sticks with his father. Amen. He's a loyal man. He's a righteous man. He's a man that gives of himself so that he can help somebody else. And he did that sacrificial love all the way to the end.
That's right.
Amen. He, amen, understood that God had chosen David to be king. And he also understood that his father, Saul, amen, wanted to kill David. Amen, but he wasn't with his father on killing David, but he stuck by his father on all the other exploits for the kingdom. So he's here, amen, and he's fighting with his father, amen, and because, amen, of the judgment that has been handed down by God. Amen. We see here that Saul's three sons died with him, and Jonathan, most of all, which we've seen throughout this book, a man that has been loyal to his father and has also been loyal to David. He's been loyal to both kings. Amen. The one that's on the throne and the one that's been anointed to take his place. He's loyal to both of them. And compromise is nothing. He didn't compromise with his father. I told his father the truth. But if you look at the relationship between Jonathan and David, you will see that Jonathan was always giving. I'm not saying that David didn't give him anything, but the Bible shows you that Jonathan is always giving to David. And you know how it is this day and time? Because this covetousness and selfishness, it said if I give you something before I give you anything else, you better give me something back. Ain't that right? He said, man, well, listen, people are talking about, man, if you ain't running with me, then I don't want to have no parts with you. I read the other day about keeping, that's why I don't mess with nobody. What kind of world would it be if nobody messed with nobody? Wouldn't it be a sad world? Amen. If the only people that we could vibe with is the people that vibe with us, that wouldn't be a Christian world, would it? That wouldn't be a world that I want to live in. Because strangers would be in trouble. Ain't that right? So we see here that Jonathan is a man that's giving and giving and giving. Amen. And David to David. Amen. And the Lord optionized in that way. And David also, amen, was thankful for what Jonathan had done for him. But we see him in the sadness of it all is that he died with his father, along with two other siblings. They die in the battle. He said here that the battle pressed hard against Saul, and the archers found him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and mistreat me. So we see here that, you know, I don't know whether you visualize it in your mind, that they're on the run. They're running from the battle. They're not pressing against the enemy. The enemy is pressing in on them. And you know, sometimes you can run and you think you're getting away. But we see here that the archers, those that had the bow, drew the bow back, and we see here that the archers found him and wounded him badly. Wounded him badly to the point where he couldn't run anymore. And because he couldn't run anymore, he asked his armor bearer to thrust him through, because he understood that the enemy was going to treat him bad. And he said, thrust me through before these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and mistreat me. They come and find out who I am, they will treat me extra bad. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's why you shouldn't run around here and want to be the leader of everything. You know that? Amen. You can lead some stuff and fall on hard times, and then you know what happens to the leader. Amen. They put their focus on their victory, all right, on them. Ain't that right? So, you know, don't always want to, James said, don't always seek to be a teacher. Amen. You don't suffer a greater condemnation because people are listening to what you say. And if you mess up, they're going to say, oh, I thought you were this. I thought you were that. Ain't that right? Amen. That's a little aside. Let's get back to what happened here. But he said they're going to mistreat me. But his armor bearer would not, for he feared greatly. It seemed like his armor bearer had the same mind that David had. David wouldn't kill Saul. Amen. He found Saul two times. Amen. He found him two times, and one time they ambushed him. The Lord led him up there. You know what I mean? And David said, I will not touch the Lord's anointing. I won't kill the Lord's anointing. The last time he said that I won't put my hands on the Lord's anointing. The Lord is going to have to do that. So we see here this armor bearer said he feared greatly. Therefore Saul took his own sword and fell upon him. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell upon his sword and died with him. Thus Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men on the same day together. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley, and those beyond the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their cities and later. So we see the defeat gets worse. It multiplies itself. The leaders have died. And then word gets around that the leaders have died. And because of that, everybody shakes in fear and they begin to run. And those that were in that part, amen, of the country, they left their houses and their homes and ran because Israel has suffered a great defeat. And this defeat magnified itself. It said they saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead. They abandoned their cities and fled. They ran. And then the Philistines come and get the riches that belong to the children of Israel. We saw in a contrast, we saw in chapter 30, amen, where David is getting riches because of his obedience. But now we see, because of disobedience, we see that Israel are losing land and riches because of the disobedient acts of Saul and their defeat. The Philistines came and lived in them. Isn't that something when you can see somebody that has your stuff? Oh, Lord. Somebody, people come and steal your stuff. That upsets you, ain't that right? Yeah. And you can't do nothing about it. Sometimes people steal stuff. You know, you got scammers. You know those scammers that come online and they got a good word for you and everything, and you find out that you wind up losing several hundred dollars. Brother Donnie knows what I'm talking about. Brother Donnie called me, they got you. And then there's nothing you can do about it because you can't find them, can't hunt them down. And then they do this all the time. They got your money. And that's upsetting, ain't that right? Amen. You suffer loss. Amen. And this is what the children of Israel, amen, they lost their name. And they had to leave and get out of that area. And then the Philistines are not finished. You know, the devil is ruthless. The devil is ruthless. He just won't stop there. He says, the next day, you know, the devil war on you as many days as he needs to humiliate you. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, going to get all the other riches. Amen. They came to strip the slain. They found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Tabor. So what they did, they abused him. So they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. They put his armor in the temple of Asherah and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. You see what happened? You see how devastating the defeat is? You see where a disobedience will drag you? You see how it will affect other people? You see how that the devil, amen, will take you and abuse you? And then, not only that, but it will cause them to make an accusation against God.
Yeah.
Their God couldn't save them. They're supposed to be so mighty and so strong, but look what happened to them. They don't understand that God is judging on that day. Amen. And they take, they cut off his head, further abusing his body, and then they took the sons and then they nailed them to the wall to make further abuse of the body. He's just not satisfied. I remember when David had sinned, when the Lord came to him, he asked David, what would you have me do? He gave him several options. One of the options that you would flee before the enemy for so many months. And the other option was that you would fall into the Lord's hands and the Lord would punish you. But David said, Lord, I'd rather fall into your hands because I know in your hands there's mercy. Amen. You fall into the hands of the enemy, there's no mercy. And that's what we see here in this point right here. No mercy. They want to abuse them and set it out there that we have defeated Israel, the one that we've been battling all of this time. Amen. And Saul was made king because he was supposed to judge the children of Israel against the Philistines. Amen. been misusing your body. You remember in the first part of this book how that they had took the Ark of God into the Temple of Dagon. Amen. And sometimes the enemy will forget what happened when they took these, they didn't take the Ark of God. They took the Ark of God into that block. It would have been something just like what happened in the Dagon. But they took Saul's head and into there, into the island, just to proclaim that we are victorious over the Israelites. But you know, God is gracious. I'm going to say God can be gracious sometimes. He's gracious all the time. But when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard that the Philistines had adopted Saul, and all about him being enrolled and went all night, and took the body of Saul and the bodies of the men and the sons off the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there, and they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days. So these valiant men went to get their bodies, so they wouldn't be abused anymore. The bodies most likely were in bad condition, because the Israelites used no burning bodies. Most likely because of the condition that the body was in and hadn't been out of the ground so long, so they would get their bodies in the ground quickly. But being out like that, they burned the body. They returned the power, they burned the flesh off the bones, they took the bones. Amen. They wanted to give them an honorable type of burial rather than a dishonorable burial of them being upon the wall of the enemy's wall. So we see that God can be gracious to us even in our deaths sometimes. Amen. That he allowed these valiant men to do what they did. But what comes to my mind, and hopefully, again, that we can learn from this passage of scripture. The scripture in Proverbs 29:1, the Bible says, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck," the Bible says, "shall be cut off in that without remedy." And we see that is the problem with Saul. We see in many places in the Bible a hard neck. It is used as a figure of speech to speak of a stubborn attitude that resists and disobeys God. This is what Saul had. He had a stubborn attitude. It was an attitude that resisted God. When God told him to kill all the enemy, he decided to switch it up and save some of the enemy for himself, and because of what the men might have wanted. When God told him to wait, he was ready to go. Saul, amen, had a hard heart and a stiff neck. And we have to ask ourselves, do we have that sometimes? Right. Amen. Are we sometimes hard-hearted and stiff-necked because stuff not going our way? People are not doing it like we want them to do it. And worst of all, amen, we have that hard neck against God. Amen. When people tell you the word of God, but because you don't like what it's saying, because you feel that it's coming against you, the first word will say, "Don't judge me." Well, you know, the problem is that we take that verse of scripture and we use it all the wrong way. Amen. And I can see if I'm guilty of the same thing you were guilty of, then I shouldn't try to tell you how to fix it without fixing myself first. Ain't that right? But if we look into the Word of God and see where we're wrong at, we should try to change that. Ain't that right? Amen. When we see that we're unknowing, we should try to change that. No matter what our feelings are, or no matter how we feel, amen, we want to mirror Christ rather than mirror ourselves. Amen. We don't want to have a stiff neck, because when we have a stiff neck, amen, God doesn't like that. The Bible tells us that we need to humble ourselves. Ain't that right? A stiff neck gets you in trouble. A stiff neck hurts other people. A stiff neck hurts your family. Amen. A stiff neck breaks up a relationship. A stiff neck, amen, causes things to go wrong. Amen. So what we need, amen, is not a stiff neck. Amen. We need, amen, a humble attitude before God. We need to stop disobeying God and start obeying Him. The Proverbs speaks about a man who is often rebuked, but doesn't listen. And this is Saul's condition. He is constantly rebuked by Samuel, but he doesn't listen. He is constantly told by Samuel what he should do, and he decides to do opposite of what Samuel told him to do. And because of this situation, instead of him being obedient to God, he hardens his neck. He keeps on going in the same godless direction. So we have to ask ourselves, am I hardening my neck? The opposite of a stiff neck would be a bending neck. The opposite of a stiff neck would be a bending neck. One that shows submission. Submission to the Lord and submission to His will. It is important that we be a submissive people and not a proud, boastful people. We need to be a people with humility, wanting to hear from God rather than hearing from what's going on the inside. Amen. The Bible says that the heart of man is what? Deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. If you are taking counsel from what's in your heart, amen, you're taking the wrong counsel. Amen. You're taking a counsel, amen, that's going to lead you to destruction, and so many of the people that are around you is going to hurt them also. So one thing we want to do, amen, is not be stiff-necked. Amen. Going our own way, doing our own thing, doing it like we want to do it. Ain't that right? You can't make up with somebody because you're stiff-necked. You can't have your way, amen, and you'd rather suffer hardship because you're stiff-necked. Don't that sound like that? Ain't that right?
Yeah, listen, don't tell me that you, because all of us here get stiff-necked one time or another.
Especially against the Word of God. Some of us have backslid and went on our own way, ain't that right? Stiff-necked, but God, we have become obedient. The thing here not to do is to be one that is often rebuked. Every time I rebuke you, your neck gets stiff. He that is often rebuked and continues to harden his neck, it gets to the second point and says, they will suddenly be destroyed. This stubborn, rebellious man continues in his disobedience for a long time until he is suddenly destroyed and there will be no hope for him. There's no remedy. You know what happened to Saul. There was no remedy. Ain't that right? Amen. Samuel's constantly praying for Saul. Lord, will you help him? Will you help him? But what did the Lord tell Samuel? Why do you keep praying for that man? Don't you see that I have rejected him? Isn't that a bad situation or state to be in? A state of rejection by God. If God rejects us, amen, no amount of prayer will help us through. He said, there is no remedy. This describes the kind of person who thinks little of God's merciful patience and assumes judgment will never come for his continual rejection of wisdom and stubborn heart against God. When the door of opportunity to repent finally shuts, finally at death, the incorrigible fool is beyond all hope of the cure. And this is what we have to watch out for. This is what we see that has happened to Saul at this particular point of time. He has hardened his neck against God. God was not talking to him anymore. He got so desperate for the Lord to talk to him, he went to a witch and asked him to bring up Samuel so he could have somebody talk to him. And with that talk, amen, came his final judgment. And what would happen to him?
Amen. He was so downtrodden, he didn't want to eat. They told him to eat, and he went out to this battle that next day. From judgment to battle to being suddenly destroyed. He had won a lot of battles, amen, for the Lord, but because of his disobedience, we come to this sad time in this book that Saul had lost his life. And it didn't have to go this way, but it went that way. And we have to be cognizant of this thing, and we have to be people that take learning from this situation is not to destroy ourselves and our families because we're going to be disobedient to God. And instead of fighting God, we need to agree with Him. Instead of stiffening our neck, now is the day to soften. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now is the day to let the love of God permeate, amen, your heart and your mind. Because we see here the results, the wages of sin is death. And we got to say within ourselves, God, I'm going to repent. I'm turning back to you. I'm no longer going to have a stiff or a hard neck. I'm going to live life like you want me to live. Amen. I'm going to reconnect with people I need to reconnect with. Love people I need to love. Amen. Help people that I need to help. Amen. Don't let your mind be so confused with bitterness or anything else. Amen. Bitterness and jealousy led Saul to this end. He was jealous of David. And from that very point where he heard the song, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000. Amen. He began to be jealous of David and hunted him down from that point on till he comes to his final death. Oh no. Let's be like David. All right? Let's be like David. I know you're trying to kill me, Saul, but I'm not trying to kill you.
Yes,
Saul, I know you have this kind of hate relationship for me, but I don't hate you. Saul, I love you. Saul, you know what? I could have killed you, but God wouldn't let me kill you because I'm your servant, Saul. Saul, I love you. Saul, I'm ready to die for you. We need to have that kind of heart. You know what I mean? We need to have that kind of mind. Because when we have that kind of mind, we can affect other people's lives. And finally, in the Philippians, the second chapter, the Bible lets us know, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when we take upon ourselves the mind of Christ, amen, we will be about binding up relationships rather than tearing them up. Ain't that right?
Yes,
when we take up the mind of Christ, then look at Christ's mind. Look at him. Look at him in an upper room. We were talking on two, look at him in an upper room. Surrounded by people, but those that he loved. But he knew and understood that the very same people were about to turn their back on him. And then even some, one was going to become a traitor and give them information to take him. Amen. We see some, amen, like Peter. He said, listen here, Lord, I want to die with you. Everybody else can leave you, but Big Pete's going to stay. Big Pete ain't going nowhere. Amen. I'm going to fight to the end with you. Amen. He was ready to do that even when it came to him. Amen. God had taken Big pulled a sword out of God's hand and he started cutting off ears. Jesus said, Big put that sword away. He that lived by the sword don't die by the sword. But he was ready to get down. He thought about it. But God said, I didn't come to get down like that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Even though, and after a while, after big peace, all that things weren't going right, and Jesus was taken, and things were going backward, big Pete became little Pete. Big Pete became pop gun Pete. Amen. Big Pete began to say, I don't even know the man. Began to curse about it and everything else. I don't know the man. He changed his attitude. Ain't that right? And not only him, don't just blame Big Pete. We got all the big names, Big Matthew and all the rest of those disciples. They did the same thing. They did the same thing. Amen. But before all of that happened, Jesus knew it was going to happen. And he still got up from the table. Put an apron on, and he began to wash every traitor's feet in that room. He knew they were going to trade the pig before the cock crow. Three times, he's going to deny him. Wash his feet. Man, all the rest of them went down the line, washing all of their feet, even though he knew that they were going to betray him. You know what I'm saying? And he knew who he was because after he finished washing all that feet, he told them all, whatever you see to do, I want you to do the same thing. He got up and got back in his right seat, right to seat. He's the head of everything. He's the head of everybody. He knew who he was. Amen. He understood what was about to happen. But that's why the scripture said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I need you to love people. Even though they called you harm or hurt, keep loving. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
And then Jesus said, what thank you have me if you love those that love you? If you do good to those that do good to you. Amen. Big deal. Even the Gentiles, even those that are in the world, they do that. They love those that love them. But if we're going to be called children of God, that means we love our enemies. We love those that hurt us. We love those that treat us wrong, that do us wrong. Why? Amen. Because we have the Spirit of God in us. Amen. There's no excuses. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Amen. There's no getting out of this. Because if we want to be obedient, we have to follow the word of God.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Ain't that right, church?
Amen.
Come on now. Come on now. If you're Christians, you got to say amen.
Amen.
And if you are Christians and you don't say amen, then we got to have a prayer meeting.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Because somebody needs to bend their will to God's will.
Amen.
Somebody needs to loosen that neck that's stiff. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Amen.
Amen.
Listen here. When Jesus was on the cross, Jesus just explained all of this. Explained it when Jesus was on the cross. Amen. And as he was being hoisted up there, don't you know, amen, that those thieves start talking about him. They mocked him. Both of them mocked him. Both of them talked about him. Amen. But don't you know there was one that decided to repent and said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Jesus didn't tell him, you messed up. When you start talking about me, that sealed your faith. You got to go. No, he told him, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. He told that to the man that was mocking and cursing him because he turned and repented. This is the attitude that Jesus had. This is the mind that Jesus had. And while he's dying, he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. We got to have have Jesus' mind instead of Saul's mind. We got to understand that it's necessary, amen, that there be a difference between us and the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. He said, they are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And there has to be a difference between us and the world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself. There got to be a difference between us and the world.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Trying to find how to live so close to the world, you don't know whether they're a Christian or not.
Yeah.
We're supposed to try to get closer to God, not closer to the world.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You have to understand that even the Bible is just so explicit in this matter about us being different from the world. And even in our salvation, the Bible lets us know that created in Christ Jesus under what? Good works. Wherein what? God has ordained that you should what? Walk in them. Told him in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And what? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Stop being conformed to this world. Amen. Stop hating people that hate you. The Bible says that we should love our enemies. Who's he talking to? Christians. Ain't that right? Amen. I know we read this word. We got a big old shit on our chest. I'm a Christian. But we can't do the very thing that God told us to do, is to love our enemies. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are majoring in how to be disobedient to God in loving one another. Tell me again. That's not enough for you. Even in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he said, therefore, truly the Lord urged you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You understand? You got to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You have to walk in a manner that pleases God. Amen. This is it. God has put so many blessings on this side of the scale for you. He's giving you his son. Amen. He's giving you his sermon. He's giving you his word. He's giving you all these things, spiritual things that you have. Amen. Is just going up and up on God's side. All the things that he's given you. Now you got to even the scale out. Yeah. You got to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Amen. You got to start, amen, living like the Lord wants you to be. Amen. And just for one very point, I know I'm stressing it here. I'm right here because that's where Saul was. I'm right where Saul was. He could not love David like he's supposed to love him. Because he could not love David like he was supposed to love him, he tried to kill David. And you say, well, I ain't trying to kill my friend or this guy. Yeah, you're killing him. Because if you go to again to that Sermon on the Mount, you'll find out, amen, that if you talk about somebody, it's just like murdering them. Amen. You're trying to kill. Saul was trying to actually kill David. And some of us with our mouths are killing our people. We can't love them like we're supposed to love. Our neck is still. And the only thing that we have for it, amen, is to constantly skip it out more. We got excuses why I should do that. I can do that because they did this to me. I can do that because they treated me this way. I can do that because of past failures, past things that happened. I can do that. And we got excuses running all out of our lips. Amen. We got excuses everywhere we go. And we constantly, amen, are being disobedient to
Praise the Lord, you know, my new man, God, and he got all the song and he's reviewing us about our head. But the Bible told me to what? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doubt. Amen. Why? Because we have to be a people that is different from the world. Praise the Lord, not being proud and different. Not being uplifted to say, listen here, I'm the head and not the tail. Listen here, Christ is the head, amen. And if you need anything, it's Jesus in front of you. Any other way, any other kind of way, amen, that's just your pride, your heart, you're lifted up, you're boastful, amen. Oh, why you have all this going on? You got jealousy in your heart. You got bitterness in your heart. You got lawlessness in your heart. It's overtaking you. You need to stop that mess. Do you hear me? You got to be a difference between the two. Praise the Lord. You got to be a difference between you and the world. I know this is the old time preacher. Listen, you know, took away his notes out of the way, and now he comes down on us. But you know I'm right. Amen. Especially as we live life this day and time, you know I'm right. You know people would rather kill people than love.
That's right.
They'd rather murder them with their mouth than love. They'd rather bring up all kinds of things. You know how it is when you first get married. You're like, yeah, when you first get married. I'm talking about all first marriage. This is me too. When you get married, you first get married, and then you get the fight. And then that fight's over. But you know I'm right. That fight be over with. You get the fight again, and that fight be over with you. And then after the fifth fight, so you start bringing up the first five fights. Ain't that right? You remember when you said this? Oh, I used to do it. I used to do it. You remember when you said this? You remember when you said that? And then the rumble is on all over. Ain't that right? Now we have made up new things to do, new things to be mad at. Ain't that right? But the Lord said, don't act like that. The Lord said, don't do that. Amen. Stop having grudges against people. Amen. And then when you get wise, you stop bringing up old stuff. And you start, you begin to forgive, amen, that husband or that wife. Ain't that right? Amen. And then the marriage is so much sweeter. Ain't that right? Amen. Even though the person might be wrong, you forgive them anyway. They might not act right, but you forgive them anyway. It don't go away. Life is so much sweeter when you're loving one another. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, what is God trying to tell us? Amen. Through all this. Amen. Love your enemies. Love those people that are close to you. Love those people that hurt you. I'm talking to Christians, man. I'm talking to Christians. Yeah, I can't talk to those that are not saved. I'm talking to Christians. I can't expect you to do something that you don't have the power to do. But for those of you that say you love the Lord, I'm talking to you. Amen. This commandment is to you, that you begin to love those that hate you. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. And start doing it now. Because the minute you leave out of here, that neck begins to get stiff. You ever had a stiff neck before? You can go to bed feeling all right. You know when you get old, you go to bed feeling all right. You slept the wrong way, and you wake up, that neck is stiff, and you can't turn around. Ain't that right? So don't wake up out of this service, out of this sermon. Don't wake up out of this sermon, amen, and you have a stiff neck. Because you know I'm telling the truth. You know what the word says. You've read it. I'm giving it to you over and over again. Saul was jealous of David. And because of that jealousy, he tried to kill him. And because of his disobedience, God had judged him, and Saul lost his life in a terrible way. David was obedient to God in his first chapter, in his first book. Yeah, not that David was always obedient to And we were talking about Job, and how that Job was a patient man. He said, we saw James 5 and 7, said, home, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. We have heard of the steadfastness of Job. We have seen the purpose of the Lord. We found out that if you read up above that statement in verse 7, we found out that James is telling the brothers to be patient. God is coming back. Be patient like the farmer is patient. Wait for fruit. You need to establish your heart. Be patient to establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. And the reason that we ought to live like the Lord is because God is coming back. The Lord is coming back. The coming of the Lord is at hand. He said, establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. He is Job as the hope, the ideal attitude of being steadfast and patient. And if we look at what happened to Job, we find out that Job was being attacked from the outside. Didn't they take his stuff? Yeah. Then he ended all this stuff for security, you in trouble. Amen. Because it could happen in one night, the stuff could be taken. You could be going here right now before the next minute. And then you need to put your trust in God. What the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. Don't trust in your riches, because they can soon be gone. Ask Job. Job left everything. I think Job was probably richer than all of us here today. Amen. He lost everything. Amen. You find out that people persecuted from outside, but people that was in his circle. You know how people say, I keep my circle small. Well, Job had a small circle for you today. He had three friends. And even if you keep your circle small, it can close in on me. Praise the Lord. Amen. They had a little small circle, but you know they was grumbling against him. They were accusing him. They were talking about him. But the Bible says Job is an example of being steadfast and patient. Even though he was getting all this persecution from outside, and the worst part was from the inside. The Bible lets us know that Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. Amen. That gave him the worst. They gave him the worst pain of his life. And likewise here, amen, with Job, amen, his friends.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But he was still what? Steadfast. In the Bible tells us he's steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, seeing that your labor is not in vain. Love those, amen, that talking about you, treating you bad, because they don't need you in a minute. They don't need you in a minute. Amen, but they can't have you if this bitterness continually stays in your heart and mind. So we see that same thing with Job. After Job
in you. And I repent of the dust and ashes. And then the Lord told him, listen here, go pray for me, free.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Because I can't use them until you pray for them.
Right.
Amen. So listen here. Don't be so angry because, listen here, have the mind of Christ, have the steadfastness of Job. Amen. Begin to love those that hate you and go pray for them.
Yes.
Go pray for them so that God can use them again.
Yes.
Amen. Because if we got this conflict going on, God can't use us as a people like he want to use us. Amen. If your marriage is all messed up, God can't use your marriage because it's all messed up. We need, amen, reconciliation.
Amen.
Love. At all costs. Praise the Lord. I'm praying this year. The flesh knows how to bring up stuff. I told you the flesh will get your step in your next step. I see some of y'all here already. Because after we got one, we surely want another one. For being kids, we have to be instructed. But he would tell us for 2 hours after he looked at the material, he would tell us for 2 hours all the stuff that we had done wrong. Everything that we had done wrong, he let us know. So I think that's a lot of why we just stayed out of jail. So Peter. Bill, let Bill know you broke our street. Y'all said, Bill, you can say anything yourself. That's how it is. Just not be afraid of the word of God. And then let us examine ourselves and see whether we can be afraid. God, we need to sit down.